Did you see the eclipse? Of course you did, right? Everyone did. It was spectacular, wasn't it? One of the things I was most happy about was how millions of people looked up. Not down, not into their phone, not taking in what man has created, but what God has and his great marvel. I was so glad to see that, to know of that. There's the moon. Scientists say it was likely formed 4.5 billion years ago. And when some Mars-sized object crashed into the Earth, and a rock now orbits it, and it revolves and orbits in such a way that we only see one side of the moon. We never see its backside to us. Always synchronized. And then behind the moon, the sun, a star 93 million miles away, which itself orbits around the center of the Milky Way. And what is it? Something like 1.3 million Earths could fit in the sun in terms of volume. And there's the moon, just briefly covering that star, that massive bit of creation. It captures the imagination, doesn't it? It generates awe and wonder. Look up. They say, raise your eyes physically, but also spiritually. Look up at the one who stands behind this extraordinary creation, behind the sun and the moon and all that is. Look up, they say. Classically and traditionally, most often, until maybe modern times, the tallest structure in a city was reserved for churches. Even to this day in Washington, D.C., around the shrine, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, there are restrictions on height. You can't build taller than that shrine. You can't get in the way of seeing that dome. Look up, the churches are saying. Human hearts aspire to the infinite. May we long to transcend the limitations of space and time. We desire not a little, but a lot, everything. We don't want to climb just a small hill, but scale a majestic mountain. We long for love that doesn't just last for a while, but forever. Naturally, we want it to go on and on without end. Stifle these deepest innate longings, and frustration, dissatisfaction, and dysfunction emerge. Glory to God in the highest, and then what? And then on earth, peace to people of goodwill. There's the sequence. Look up, traditional churches are saying. The tallest building in Olathe, at least as I've been able to find it, is the new courthouse, which I think was built maybe in 2019, somewhere around there. It's the tallest building at 140 feet tall. The cross on the top of our dome will soar to 160 feet. Yeah, wonder. Awe, that's right. That's what you're feeling. Remember that this wasn't our initiative. I mean, for goodness sakes, we were told to build a parish. And even as we came to design a church, it was not our own creation, but we said, who is our patron? Where do people identify John Paul II with? What are the principal elements of St. Peter's that we see? A church in a cross shape, cruciform shape? We see high altar with a baldacchino, like a tent, like the Israelites journeying through the desert with a cloud of smoke, like we had here a little bit ago, as we move through time and space. And then the shrines that will surround us, the communion of saints joining in, and then that dome where heaven and earth meet. Our desires and God's condescension, His grace, meet us as we aspire to something beyond what we can ourselves achieve. Look up, it says. Now, we're phasing in this church, about 500 seats or so to begin with, and phasing in the ornamentation, decoration, as we can afford it. We're building it to last, which a priest said, that's remarkable in Johnson County. Where, what do we want, typically in society, our society? Instant gratification, right? But we're saying, this isn't just about us. This is larger than us. It reminded me of something that Herman Melville wrote in Moby Dick. I just came across it. I thought it was spectacular. In speaking about the great works of art and about his own book, he referred to the great cathedral of Cologne, he said, which was left with the crane still standing upon the top of the uncompleted tower. Melville said, for small creations, those may be finished by their first architects. But grand ones, true ones, ever leave the completion, the finishing touches to posterity. God keep me from ever completing anything, he said. This whole book, that whole fat book, he said, is but a draft. No, but the draft of a draft. Isn't that spectacular? Look up, our church will say. A message society dearly needs to hear us say. And of course, we're also planning to open our pre-K through 8th grade classical academy in 2025. You know, classical essentially means this. It means that unlike current trends of emphasizing skills first, so that you can get into college, you can get a job, you can make money, you can be happy. Classically, the goal of education was to form a good human being, to focus on virtue, on character development. And so the questions were, what is a human? What's the meaning of life? Where do we come from? Where are we going? What is happiness? What is love? What is honor? What is goodness? What's responsibility? What is my responsibility? Now, I would submit to you that most of you already sense that this is an ideal approach for where we're at in time and space. Because I suspect most of you who are involved in owning a business, operating a business, managing, being a principal, a teacher, you see that it would not only be nice to hire someone, but if that someone would come to work. And if that someone would come to work on time. And if they would have a good work ethic, that they would work all the day through. And that if they're a salaried employee, that they wouldn't say, well, you're asking me to come in later. What else are you going to do for me? And that they would naturally assume additional responsibilities. Let's look for a way in which we might grow. I suspect you've seen that. I mean, I hear it from business owners. Technical skills we can teach. What I need is someone like that that's coachable, that is responsible. There it is. And I think there is something to this. I'll just share this with you. By next week, our last set of interviews for our principal head of school position, we'll have interviewed 9 people. And we're not interviewing everyone who's applying. Priests in the area in the archdiocese are struggling to get a principal. For example, in Corpus Christi, they had 2 apply. Both pulled their applications. That great place doesn't have a principal next year. There is something to this, it seems. Of all the ways that we can approach things, we're saying this seems to be what is needed at this time. look up, we'll be saying to our students and families, what is a human being? Well, God became a human being. There's why it's such a natural fit, because we can look at him and we see what a human life, fully alive, looks like. What is goodness? What is love? There it is. Look up to your origins, to your identity and your purpose, we'll say. And finally, in the gospel, after opening the disciples' minds, we heard Jesus say, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. All the nations. We're a nation, aren't we? But we didn't exist then, did we? Jesus must have had us in mind, too, all the way back then. And so the witnesses he mentioned couldn't just have been those alive at that time, as they didn't live to see our nation. The mission Jesus foresaw, the preaching to all the nations, depended upon faithful witnesses down the centuries to help others to look up, to wonder at the Creator and Savior, and to speak of the possibility of forgiveness, a reconciliation, and a way to live well with one another. Unimaginable to us, but known from all eternity by God, you and I have been called by him to witness to the nations in our own day and in a very specific way. What Jesus is asking of us now is front and center as we kick off our capital campaign, Witness to Hope, a crusade for construction. You see, Jesus, well, he presents us with a decision point, as was his custom. You follow me. You say that you need to bury the dead. I say, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Where I am, there also will my servant be. He presents us with a decisive moment in our lives. You know, as registered parishioners, you'll encounter Christ's invitation as you receive this envelope in the mail. Take a good look at it. It's not going to look like anything else in your mailbox. You're going to receive Christ saying, will you follow me when this comes in the mail and when you get a phone call and an email from our campaign helpers? In this envelope, you're going to see a project proposal. That's going to go through all the different projects in detail, along with frequently asked questions. In that project proposal is a letter that's written specifically for you. It has a specific ask just for you. Read through everything, especially that letter in its entirety. Now, for a few of you, the amount will be just right. Or for a few of you, it may be a little too much. But for the majority of you, the ask amount will likely be too small. And that's because we don't have a whole lot of data on people. So what we need you to do is to pray about it. Ask God for a willing, generous heart. Be inspired by our campaign leadership. From less than 50 households, we've raised over $1.9 million. From less than 50 households, we've raised already over $1.9 million. They have gone out on a limb for you. They have said, you can trust this. We're demonstrating it by doing this. We're giving you a reason to trust and sacrifice. Just take two examples. One of our families was asked to give $9,000. They responded by giving us $60,000. Another family was asked to give $6,000. They responded by giving us $30,000. That's discernment and prayer and commitment, dedication and love. This is a parish-wide event, right? Parish-wide participation is key, otherwise we'll fall on our face if we think we're entitled to this. Everyone will benefit from the church. Everyone should give for the church. Please don't excuse yourself like those in Jesus' parables who tried to do. Everyone is busy. Everyone has standing commitments. Everyone can find a way to give. So our campaign helpers will be calling and emailing you. Please be courteous and collaborative by answering their communications. Volunteering in this way isn't easy. They're people just like you. Don't dampen their spirits by not responding to them. Respond quickly so we can break ground quickly too. If you don't receive a mailing or if you have any questions, well, contact Meredith here at the parish office. You know, friends, let's make our Lord proud. Let's love him who has loved us so much. Look up to him. Look at him. And as you do, others will follow you.